Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
I play pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Yes, then we talking.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Straight cleanup on aisle three. Come get it.
Sounds like you're just an athlete.
Yeah.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Ping pong, baseball, football, basketball.
Tennis, swimming. LaCroix, whatever you need me to play, I'm going to go do it.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hockey.
Whatever. On the rink. Whatever you need me to do. It don't matter. Well, you can tell
everybody. Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 The Fan. 1080 AM. The Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. We got a lot to get to.
Hooray.
In this hour of radio show. I hope everybody had a great weekend, despite having to watch the Blazers do something that we've never seen done before, and that is have a 15-point halftime lead and, you know, we want to lose the game by 15 points. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll try and have a little bit of fun and not be all doom and gloom. Debbie Downer, although this weekend was pretty tough.
Well, the team, I mean, like, we'll just tell you how we feel. The team is the one that dictates the topic.
Without a doubt, when they play well, we get happy tissues and we have a lot of fun on our show, and that certainly was not the case this weekend. I did want to read this. So we opened the show talking about I was there on Friday night, and I got lucky enough, a good buddy of mine stumbled into some tickets, offered them to me, and I made it just in time for the start of the game for my round of golf. And you would ask me about the crowd environment. Now, I have not been to a Blazer game. I legitimately think the last time I went to a Blazer game in person was game four of the conference finals. I don't believe I've been since then. So it's been a long time for me since I've been. That was pre-COVID.
That's 7 years.
That was a minute ago, dude. That was pre-COVID world we were living in. So I've not been to one in quite some time. And a listener chimed in, and I just wanted to read this to paint another picture. He said, I go to Blazer games all the time. We're going to go listening behind. Got to say, I disagree slightly with Dirt on the crowd. I've been to a lot of Blazer playoff games. I was there on Friday, and it was the worst fan volume I've experienced. Of course, it was loud at first, but it did not continue throughout the game. I told everyone when I got home, it was really disappointing to me. Felt more like a big regular season game, not the first sold-out playoff game in 6 years. And I said, that's fair enough. I haven't been to a game in a while, so I'll take your word for it. And he said, to your point, some better play in the second half would have helped tremendously. Definitely need a legit number one whose play can blow the lid off. Been spoiled by 15 years of Brandon Roy and Dame. And, that's definitely part of it. I do think, obviously, the way the second half unfolded after building a 15-point lead Friday night lessened the impact of the crowd, because there's just so much, only so much you could do. There was one guy in front of me who jokingly at one point when the lead had evaporated and now we're down by 10 in the middle of a timeout, tried to give them the, like, who is it? Who is the Philly? Was it Trey Turner that they did the round of applauses for instead of booing?
They cheered for him,
There was a guy like two rows in front of me in the middle of the timeout. Arena's dead silent because they just blew a fifth. It's evaporated. We're now down by double digits. And this guy in the timeout stands up right behind the Blaze. Come on, guys! Hey, he's like turning around, like, let's get him going, guys. Come
Did
on.
Anybody go with him?
Like, four other people started slowly clapping to try and cheer the team up. And that did give me a good chuckle. But I just wanted to paint that other picture. I don't go to a lot of games, so maybe I'm not the best frame of reference there. But saying he was disappointed in the crowd atmosphere this weekend.
It's not fair, but also, like, in some ways, we've been asking this question, I think, in sports in general for a while now, since they've created all these big stadiums and arenas, and we've seen the price of stuff.
You price out the people who care.
I mean, you have to kind of ask
exactly
out loud.
What happens.
Like, dude, the prices to those tickets Friday
were insane.
Where you sat, that
it's like
ticket,
$900.
Yeah, that ticket was nuts.
Yeah, I'm never spending that to go to a Blazer playoff.
So who's going there? You know, it's a Blazer fan, But it's a Blazer fan that's like, by golly, who did we get this offseason?
More likely than not. I think I'm learning in real time that I was part of the problem. Was I not cheering enough on Friday night? I did have a beer in my hand, which limits my ability to clap.
You ain't clapping with a beer.
And I'm not a big yeller.
Yeah, right.
I'm not a, you know.
I mean, yeah.
I let out a couple of shouts here or there, you know. Where's my towel? I did one of those when I didn't have a towel on my seat.
I'm very dependent on who I go to games with. Like, yeah. If I'm with the right person, I'll be my normal self. I'll clap. I'll get up for a cool dunk, you know. But I'm not largely super loud guy. If I'm with the right, the other kind of person, they're kind of making me match energy here.
Yes.
Now I got to be up. Now I got to high five everybody around me. Now I got to clap and chant defense. Most of the time, I'm just a basketball fan watching basketball. Like that Harper dunk, my instincts were like, oh!
Yes.
I would have had a Lamar reaction if I was sitting in your seat watching Harper have that dunk. But that wouldn't have been great because that was on the Blazer bench side.
No.
And that was in the middle of the comeback.
Some wild stats on this one. So Friday night was a 15-point third quarter lead. Sunday would have been yesterday, a 19-point second quarter lead.
17 at half.
After they reached their 15-point lead on Friday and their 19-point lead on Sunday,
yep,
they went on to be outscored in the following 10 minutes of the game on Friday. It went 45-15, and yesterday in 20 minutes after they built their 19-point lead of actual game time, 62-23 to trail by 20 at one point. The Blazers got outscored 107-38 in 30-ish minutes of combined basketball in those stretches. And it just it leaves a very frustrating feeling of kind of similar to the Western Conference Finals where you know there's not a chance of winning the series, but then they give you hope in the middle of the game of like, oh my God, this could actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad reality is, one, we're not surprised by it because this is kind of who they've been all year. And I think it also, for you and me, brings back conversations we were having in September and early October as we're getting ready for the season, asking the question, hey, guys, where's the offense going to come from on this team?
Mm-hmm.
And now you get to, you're in a seven-game series. Adjustments are made. They have the ability at times to take Denny completely out of the basketball game. He was a non-factor on Friday night,
yep,
a non-factor in game two. Now you're able to overcome that. He kind of hollow minutes and hollow stats in game four.
The second half, he had a couple moments, but largely they neutralized him. He was completely taken out of that second half run.
And it's one of those back to September and October of we were asking, where's the offense going to come from? And the answer now in four games of the playoffs is they don't know where the offense is going to come from, and that's why you're going to get bounced tomorrow.
Also,
night.
A little bit of a weird thing of like, they still have game five, and I know Denny, who got into the,
yeah, we'll get to some
the
more
back
audio
and forth with Steph Castle, like he doesn't think they're really that far away. They just don't have the shooting. They can't trust Shaden to play because of how bad he is defensively. I'd still argue you should play a little bit more than 13 minutes because he is one of your only bucket getters. Yeah. But I know the defensive people are going to come scream at me for this. But my thing is, Tiago is only limited to what he can do, right? He's out here literally screaming, Wemby's going to curl. He's going to curl.
Yeah, you
and,
don't pick
and
up.
Shaden Sharp doesn't pay attention in any way. And guess what happens? We get an easy dunk from Wemby. And here comes Shaden checking out of the game. And rightfully so. If I was a coach, I'd be pissed off too. But they just don't have the offense. And if Tumani is going to play the kind of defense he's been trying to play, well, what's that doing to his offense? It's basically made it non-existent. I mean, even like far worse than what his regular season was. Jeremy's had an awful series. Donovan doesn't have offense to speak of. When you don't have guys who can score the basketball, yeah, man, Denny's going to drive, have two crash down. He's not going to have an easy look.
Yeah.
Wemby's an alien sitting in the middle. What's he supposed to do? They are lucky, lucky that Scoot Henderson had a couple games that he had. They are lucky that Jrue Holiday has really stepped up his scoring from where it was in the regular season to what it is. Because if those things aren't happening, this is a four-game sweep that you've lost every game by 20 points. And I'm also not going to be somebody that, because you had leads, that actually shows that you're a lot closer. The reality of playoff basketball is what was the end result and what took place? Were we walking out of the West Finals saying, look how close we are to beating the Warriors because we had double-digit leads in three of the four games?
Well, they were banged up, didn't have their best players available, and they still swept us.
The fact that you blow leads and you don't have the offense to keep up, I think that's the alarming thing, and that's the thing to focus on when you get to an offseason. And we still have another game. So to be fair, we can kind of hold some of that conversation.
Epic comeback starts right now.
No. I expect him to fight Tuesday. I know we'll talk about that game tomorrow, but like, I do expect fight. It's just,
what's the line on that game?
It's 11.5.
11.5 again. Yeah.
So, you know, whether you think to cover the number doesn't matter to me. No. I think, what did you learn from the series and the things that I highlighted being worried about in August and September? And like, guess what's come back to, you know,
roost.
Yeah. It's the lack of offense. It's the lack of shot creation. It's the lack of shooting. You're the worst 3-point shooting team statistically that went into the playoffs. And it's reared, man. It's reared its ugly head, because outside of some random runs, the Spurs in so many different facets have showed you how much better than you that they are.
Yeah, the tough part about, I think, these moments is there's a balance of wanting to put the level of importance that they need on them, right, in terms of the way you play in the playoffs, but also trying to have a holistic view of how do you parcel through what we watched in the regular season to what we're watching in these four games.
But what we watched in the regular season is largely this. Don't let the last two weeks fool you.
I'm not talking about the overall team play. It's more of like an individual play. Like for Donovan Klingon, for example, that's a hard one for me in my head. He took a lot of steps. He was much better this year in the regular season. Number one in the NBA in offensive rebounds, right?
Correct.
Right? Number three overall in the NBA in total rebounds at almost 12 a game. Those are really good numbers.
Yep.
And he's been unplayable in four games.
Yeah.
And so what percentage of the chart do I give to, all right, we got to the playoffs. He's irrelevant on the floor, almost a liability every time he's out there, compared with the fact that I did think he had nice moments and took big stretches in his second year in the NBA, and you want to grant him, obviously, the ability to get better. He's very young.
Yes.
He's only in his second year in the NBA, so I'm not saying throwing him out. But it's just like Kamara is another great example of this for me, of a guy who we talked about at the end of the season. Like, look at all these, you know, strides he's taking offensively. Look at all these threes he's making, and he's making them at a high volume. And, oh, my God, he's turning into a legitimate 3-and-D guy. Like, he's a ghost on offense. He's giving you literally nothing.
Yeah.
He doesn't have confidence to shoot. When he does shoot, he's knocking down his shots.
Yep.
He can't create his own shot. He can't put the ball on the floor. Mm-hmm. There's zero impact on one side of the floor through four games from two guys in your starting lineup who I thought both had good regular seasons. And that's the difficulty for me at the playoffs of – I don't know how many eggs to put in each basket, if you will, and what it means for their individual growth and long-term output on that end of the floor.
On the Donovan one, and I know we're against it, on the Donovan point, I'd say I've still put most of the eggs in the regular season. And I'll tell you why. Because you still have to have guys who give a damn. Donovan Klingon will come into next year.
That he does,
if they lose in five, and he has, you know, a bummer end of the series the way the whole series has been, he will go into next year charged up, ready to go, play his ass off, and probably have good numbers again. Hot take. To me, it's more about how does it look? Does it look like this year? Because then I'm going to get to the playoffs and have the exact same feeling. This dude's going to be taken out. He doesn't have a back-to-the-basket game. I can't count on his three-point shot. But if the three-point volume goes up with the percentage going up and he shows me a move
or just anything,
ability to move, I'm going to feel better about what next year's offense or playoff postseason team is going to look like if they get to that point. If it doesn't, it's going to say, cool regular season player, but whatever. Tamani's different. Because Tamani is so much older and because of what this season is, even though he's relatively young in his career in terms of seasons played, same thing with Donovan, but maybe a little more of a final product. Not that he can't be better than 2 points. It's more like, I don't think I'm going to go to a playoff next year and say, Tamani's going to give me 19 a game. Tamani's going to step up and give me 17 a game. It might be Tamani's a lockdown dude who helps our team defense overall, but can still give up baskets to better offensive players, and I hope he gives us 11 points.
Yeah, if you can get it, that's a
positive. If you can get it, because right now, you ain't getting it.
No.
I don't even know what his averages are, but I know in the one game he had 8 in the fourth, game 3 or 4, he had 2.
Horrible.
Yesterday, I don't know what he finished with. Whatever my games are that I have mixed up in terms of his game logs.
So he was averaging 13.5 a game this year.
Yep.
For the season, he's down to 7 in the playoffs. He's shooting 32% from the floor, 30% from 3.
He can shoot better from 3.
Yeah.
It's just more like, am I going to go into next season's playoffs expecting some big leap because this was his first playoff? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Whereas Donovan is a little more of a raw product, and Tamani, to me, is maybe becoming what he is, with slightly better regular season numbers than playoff offensive output.
Where you at, Blazer fans? You can chime in, 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Let us know. We got a poll question up. Are you more or less optimistic about the future of the Blazers after seeing them in these four playoff games? You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We put that one up. Your restaurant group, neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. A little bit more on the Blazers and your thoughts next on 105.1 FM The Fan.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available now.
All right. How we feeling, Rip City? Not great, I'd imagine. But hey, that's what we're here for. Let's get through this together. There was one that came in that broke into like 17 different text messages. It was so long that I'd like to. I would love to read it.
Those I'll are see impossible if I for us.
Try and put it all together. A couple of quick thoughts here. Scoot Henderson played 27 minutes and scored 0 points. The kid next to me told his dad he wanted a Williams jersey.
Don't buy it. He's going to be on a different team next year.
Probably.
And if he's not, so
Young Hansen,
our third,
going to be a G Leaguer guy again.
And then if he is on a different team, Young's our backup. Is that, are those non-Donovan minutes going to be like
either
positive?
Way, it sucks. Because one's not ready to play, and I want to have Robert Williams
Wait,
back.
Wait, you don't want Rob Will?
I do want Rob Will back. It then further highlights how dumb that draft pick was.
I care more about having Rob Will back than I do
without
the draft
doubt.
Pick being dumb.
I still will reiterate how dumb that pick. You, what did you take the year before in the top 10? What position?
Center.
Okay.
Seventh.
How many centers start in a starting lineup?
Prototypically one.
When you draft a guy in the first round, do you hope that they can become a starter in the NBA?
When you draft them top 10, I believe you are you're telling the world that's our future starting center.
When it's a lottery pick that you had that you traded back, and then, you know, anyways.
All I kept thinking was not so much Young, because Young is, I mean, we knew he was a project, right?
Yes.
It's Carter Bryant. Swag nailed it, but he fits the profile of the team.
Somebody said my top three, my top players the Blazers need to trade this offseason are Thibault, Grant, Sharp, and Krejci. Good luck with Grant. Thibault, I don't think brings you anything in return. Sharp maybe has some value. V. Krejci, how about that offseason? Or I should say deadline.
That was our trade deadline move. We're not even playing him.
Could have got Luke Kennard. Who wants him?
V. Krejci's got a great contract, though.
Luke Kennard won the Lakers a game in the playoffs.
Did anybody else have the takeaway and just think V. Krejci might be overpaid, even at like $1 million a year?
We need anybody who can shoot.
Dude,
we're supposed to need shooting.
We literally took him.
He can't
Everybody
play.
Told me how great a move that was because he didn't make anything. And in a series where we can't shoot, we can't play a shooter?
Where Andy Bunker was right. Wait, you guys reacted to the trade? You want me to do an interview on V. Krejci? I apologize, Bunker. You were right.
Dude, I listened. Okay, I got a confession. I caught some post-game stuff. And I just heard the most prototypical Blazer response I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah,
I went in and I thought, let's run this back. And now I think we need to make trades. And I went, yeah.
You think?
No kidding.
Now?
No kidding.
It was that mighty juggernaut win over the barely over 500 Phoenix Suns that alerted you to the fact that we're going to compete in the playoffs? Phoenix sucks. Some of the thoughts, I've watched three Blazer games all year. I missed game two. It's just a different version of 2019.
Three.
Climb into the archives. You guys are saying all the same stuff. I'm not a big NBA guy. I'll raise my hand there. Irrelevant is an understatement for this franchise where the Steelers were just not good enough to be bleep.
We're the Steelers.
I think that's disrespectful to
Who
the Steelers.
Who had a worse weekend, Blazer fans or Klay Thompson?
Blazer fans.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he at least got to sleep with
Another hot.
Yes, and he'll land another hot.
Yeah, he will. But Meg the Stallion.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't advise cheating on her, but, you know, to each their own.
Especially when she has the ability to record an album about it.
Yes, she does.
She can expose everything.
Yes, she can. Another one. Why is Matisse bench, especially in the third quarter? I don't think it matters. Another one. I have zero faith in this team, but I'm ready for a complete rebuild of the staff. Blowing a 50-point lead two games straight is a complete joke at home, too. One other person, by the way, who chimed in because we were talking about the crowd noise. Somebody said wasn't quite what I was selling it to be earlier in the show, and I'm trying to be fair here because I don't go to a lot of Blazer games. Somebody said, I went to 15-plus games this year. The atmosphere was incredible in the first half, but after they blew the lead in the third quarter.
Is this Sunday or...
this is Friday.
Friday.
Sundays,
I thought, looked good.
Or maybe this was yesterday. I don't know. He didn't specify. I should be honest there. Saying it was one of the saddest vibes I've seen all year. There definitely was that. Like, walking out of the arena on Friday was a really... weird feeling.
Sunday is...
everybody seen a dead body, basically.
Yeah, and I wasn't out either, so I'm going to trust your Friday takeaway, and I didn't like Amazon Prime. It felt like they kind of like neutered the crowd noise. It was really odd.
They've had audio issues, by the way, and I didn't realize this because I didn't watch much Prime games, but you pointed it to it, that they have audio issues all year.
I thought the crowd noise was better for ESPN's Sunday broadcast, and then like when that comeback happened, it felt like the crowd tried, and then like you just... I don't know how you don't see that live or on television and go, there's literally nothing we can do here. These guys have just been punked.
Yeah.
They've all been pantsed.
Yeah.
They're frozen. They're deer in the headlights. And there's not a clap or a chant that's going to wake this up.
No.
So, like, I'm not going to bag any bit of the crowd Sunday because I thought they were electric in that first half, especially once they pushed that lead to 19.
Yeah, they had a huge lead in the second quarter. Things were going great.
They came out the half, and they said it on the broadcast that Tiago was literally like, hey, don't let them come back.
They're going to have a run.
The second half on a run.
Let's come out ready to go.
8-0 run. Timeout, Blazers. And they came out again. 11-0 run. Here we go. Oh, another 6-0 run. Oh, they tied the game. Oh, they're taking the lead. Yeah. I don't know what the crowd's supposed to do about that.
There's nothing they can't.
That's on the players. Scoot can't go 0-for. They took out Denny. Drew didn't get it going. Rob had to come in for Donovan. They don't have offense, man.
No, they do not. We'll obviously have more time for the obituary. We'll see. Maybe it ends tomorrow. Maybe the Blazers pull off a shocker. I cannot see into the future. I certainly will not pick them to win the game tomorrow, but crazier things have happened. So maybe it comes to an end tomorrow, and we're here on Wednesday, and we'll do the end of the season show and kind of look forward to the offseason and the big decisions that are ahead and all of that.
A lot of stuff moving around with that organization.
No doubt about it, man. You got a new owner in town, and I just, you know, it was one of those funny things to the crowd point and watching San Antonio go on those runs, and the only thing I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching a 15-point lead, like the Moda Center, I felt like is rocking early third quarter. You're up by, I want to say they're up by 6 at halftime, I think, of game 3. And then you come out, you get a nice little start in the third quarter. You slowly build that lead up. Mm-hmm. And the whole arena is kind of getting to this place mentally where, like, here we go, dude, this is happening. No Wemby. We're feeling like this is going to take place. It's playing out the way we thought it would. And then it slowly dips out. The only thing I'm thinking during that stretch is, you know what wouldn't help here? T-shirts. So maybe let's focus on the things that matter now.
Is it true they were throwing T-shirts out, like, from the court?
They had free T-shirts multiple times.
Did anybody put those on?
I'm pretty sure
people put them on?
There was a guy behind me who was humping the back of my head standing up trying to get a free T-shirt. If you want to paint a visual for you.
Stop.
Like it almost came to the point, you know me, I'm not a big altercation guy. I'm not a big confrontation guy.
Yeah.
If I was going to get bump and grind in the back of the dome by your ball sack one more time, I was contemplating turning around with an uppercut punch. It's a free Sprite T-shirt, brother. I don't know if you're aware of this.
It's time to nut up or shut up.
Sprite's colors are green. They were shooting out free green Sprite T-shirts. And you're gyrating the back of my head for a free Sprite T-shirt.
Fantastic.
Can we please take a moment and contemplate how we got here in life? Sit down. If you're not under the age of 12... gyrating for a free T-shirt? Look in the mirror when you get home.
Here's $8. Do you need a T-shirt?
What are we doing?
Can I Venmo you the money to sit
down?
What are we doing? Whatever that you think that T-shirt's worth. You think John, that's like $12? I'll Venmo you right now if you stop.
Like, dude, we're like 6 rows from the floor. You're not getting a shirt, okay?
The dads that stand up with kids.
Totally fine. You want to get your kid a T-shirt. Guess what? There wasn't next to him. A kid.
So it was just a grown-up.
A 20-something-year-old. He's sitting six rows up from the floor in a Blazer jersey. You don't need a free Sprite t-shirt. You can either afford these tickets or somebody in your life can afford these tickets. Therefore, you're doing fine. Go buy a t-shirt in the fan shop.
Maybe he's a big Remix fan because Sprite had the Remix. So like, he just wanted the synergy of your head. Okay.
I digress. That one, I forgot about that. And then in the rant about t-shirts, I remembered that some guy was pumping the back of my head and I was not like, what are we
doing? Funny thing is how stupid all of the t-shirt stuff became.
Yes. Like I mean,
we called it out when it happened and laughed about it. But like now you see that we have our own gear. We have our own stuff.
It doesn't matter.
Let's
focus on getting a team that cannot blow a 15-point lead.
You know what I care about? I care more about the people sitting in the 300 level to keep us charged.
Yes.
And then I love the courtside folk, especially the ones that stand up, have the gaudy jewelry on.
Gotta have it on.
Spent way too much money for those seats, but talk so much S. If Dylan Harper is doing like a gun signal because he hit a three at somebody courtside, that courtside fan has done the right thing. You're doing your job.
You're doing your job.
That's what I care about. Not the courtside folks who sit there just to order cocktails and never cheer.
No, just sit there with their hands folded in their lap.
You need the people
game.
To talk trash.
Yes, we need the people to get into the other team's head. All right, let's get to our poll question of the day. Are you more optimistic or less optimistic? We'll kind of put a bow on this Blazer conversation. I know they'll play again tomorrow, so we'll probably have some thoughts on the game. Obviously, the show goes on, probably the final game of the series. But we'll get to that, and then also a little peekaboo of what's ahead tonight in sports, all that next. All right, are we more optimistic or less optimistic? I apologize to those who were offended by my very graphic details of what happened to me on Friday night.
Are people offended? I mean, who wants that happened into their head?
I certainly did not want that happening to my head. The poll results are being very wonky right now. I don't really know how to get an accurate gauge of this, so it's old Elon's machine's not working.
You understand, I've been saying it on the show for about a year. I've gotten off Twitter largely, like my personal account. I have the show one up when I'm doing the show. When I get out of here, I'm largely never on it.
Yeah.
I decided to hop back on.
Oh, we're back on the bird?
I'm not like tweeting thoughts because I also find those to be honest, kind of stupid.
Yeah.
God forbid you suggest somebody's not playing well in the moment and then the end of the game they had a good moment. It's like, you still sticking by this? Like, well, he was 1 for 9 when I tweeted this, but sure. Context, Bob. So I don't really do much. Mm-hmm. Being on it this weekend was eye-opening. I knew that app was terrible.
It sucks, yeah.
Dude, the amount of times I had to click not interested in this or report for, dude, I got to the point where I was reporting all the political ones that were just randomly popping up, and I'd be like, sexual in nature, stop screwing my timeline over. And then they would pop up an hour and a half later. And I had tweets from people responding to accounts I don't follow on my timeline. And it was like, do you find this interesting? And it was like some guy responding to a Chicago Bears draft pick from the 5th round or something. And I'm like,
why is
this on my algorithm?
Get this out of here, man.
And I'd have to click not interested. And it said, thank you. We will. And then like an hour later, I'd pop back on it. And it'd be the same crap.
Get a machine that works. Stop taking all the ketamine. Right now, we have 8 responses to the poll question, like written out responses.
And there's no way that's.
It's only counting 3 votes.
I've noticed our last couple say 2 votes, and I'm like, there's no way.
People are responding to it, but not clicking the answer on it. Thanks, Elon. Anyway, so that makes it hard to gauge what the actual results of the poll question are. But I did want to read some of these, though, that came in. Somebody said, Shane said, I'm optimistic that we potentially have an owner now that watched us get blown off the floor at home in back-to-back fourth quarters and will understand that it's not good enough, unlike the previous regime.
Mm.
We'll see how much Tommy D hates losing if he makes a big splash this offseason. Another one, the old digital dam is back. What about the option of never being optimistic? This team was too bad to be good for the playoffs and too good to be bad for the lottery, the definition of purgatory, and it starts with the front office. Another one, take it this way. When they were up by 17 at halftime, I placed a bet on the Spurs to cover. It's a smart bet. We both did the same thing.
Yeah, I got a plus 250.
Let's see here. Does this include the news that Dundon is trying to pay the new head coach in food stamps? That came in.
I think it's Medicaid and food stamps.
Right.
Get you to retirement and then we'll cover your food costs as well.
Said, my opinion hasn't changed. The roster needs to be upgraded, and one of the only ways for Portland to do that is through the draft, passing up a chance to do that for 5 playoff games now. Yeah, look. to each their own. So I just, you know, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. So it's hard to get an actual response on if people are more or less optimistic.
I think we know. I think largely we're on the same tape. We're on the same.
Yes. I certainly will argue. And this, again, save this for July when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
There is a part of me that is more optimistic because I do think, despite all the jokes and the Tommy Two Nickels and what are we cutting or not cutting, I do think he is a competitive person who wants to put a roster on the floor that's better than what we have right now. And I don't think that we're going to go through an offseason of standing pat and rolling it back. And that was the hallmark idea of the previous leadership group. Mm-hmm. If any time there was a modicum of positivity or success, they said, yeah, bring it back next year.
Right.
And guess what largely happened? The same outcome, because we never tried to actually do anything. And so that's the one area where you can lead me to be more optimistic despite how embarrassing those losses were this weekend and how painful they were. Not that I'm surprised that the series is going this way. It just is a kick in the junk to have a double-digit lead and let it slip away and pee down your leg that I think it will lead to. I already would have felt this way, but now I feel more this way that I think there will be some sort of big swing. Giannis, I don't know if he's available or if he can sign off on coming here, but I do think they're going to try and do something aggressive this offseason.
I'd be a little surprised if it was Giannis. I mean, that was my biggest takeaway from Dundon's press conference, his introductory one. I know a lot of people are concerned about the lease agreement and the money and where that sits with the city because we know the state funding's there. I understand all of that is a huge concern. There's some people think this is all a shadow operation to just relocate the team and we're the new Clay Bennett Seattle Supersonics. That being said, man, like when it comes to the conversation of roster building and competition and trying to elevate, this guy's hyper-competitive. Like half the time I would see Jody on the sidelines and she'd be in her blazer jacket that somebody clearly handed to her or Paul gave her years ago that she never wore and then randomly wore and she'd, whatever. He was like gritting his jaw visibly. Like, I don't know if I saw him smile one time.
No,
so, like, that is a weird takeaway. I don't know what the future holds. It could be incredibly cheap, and he runs this thing into the ground because his cheapness plays too big a factor. But if he does decide to pony up in the areas that are the most pressing of fans, because T-shirt's not one of them there.
We're spending in the luxury tax. We wouldn't got a big fish in the offseason. We use draft capital to be aggressive.
So Michael Pena is a writer for The Ringer.
Yeah.
He writes this, the Rockets could be using Kevin Durant as a stepping stone. Teams involved in the trade for Kevin Durant, Heat, Timberwolves, Blazers, yada, 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 yada. So, like, I don't think, and we could talk about Kevin Durant at a later date.
Sure, that could be an offseason conversation.
But as an example, that would be one that'd be like, oh.
You need offense?
You need offense with Denny and Dame next year, and you can still hold on to Jrue Holiday?
Yeah. Give him one of your young guards.
Let's wait till we get to that before we dive into it. I'm just merely saying, like, if they do that kind of move, fill in the blank with him or somebody else, are we really coming into next year and we're like, oh, Tommy Two Nickels?
Right. Because that's ultimately what matters the most to me. I'm tired of being in a
spot. That matters the most to everybody.
Like, it's just, I think the point is valid where we went through this tank to come out of the other end of it, and there's no doubt that they've made progress this year.
Yeah.
And Denny has turned into an all-star, which is a really nice sign, although I think he's had some awful moments in this series, and if we're going to praise him for the great moments, we got to criticize him for the negative moments. So you've certainly found a guy who was worthy of being an all-star. I think there's an elephant in the room question that remains about him that some wanted to crown and say after the Phoenix game in game one against San Antonio that he's the undoubted center of your universe. And I think you and I have been more in an approach of like, we acknowledge the step that he's taken.
No doubt.
We acknowledge the how much better he has gotten while still not feeling firmly confident in saying that's the son of your roster, if you will, and everything will evolve around it. And I just don't think that he's proven enough to me to be that kind of guy. And so that's a difficult part about coming out of the tank is that you have these draft picks. I think Shaedon Sharpe's gone in the offseason. Scoot has given you some really nice moments in this series, and then he went for a jog for 25 minutes yesterday. Klingon had a really nice year two, and then has completely disappeared in the playoffs. And so three straight top 10 picks, when you look in the playoffs, Scoot had his moment in game one and game two, no doubt. And then game four was horrible. So it's this mixed bag, and you don't really know how many of them are part of the long-term future, and it just kind of leaves you frustrated from a bigger picture standpoint of where you've been the last couple of years to where you're going, and how do you get from this point to being a team that can legitimately contend is a really difficult jump to make. But Tom Dundon, we'll see what he can do this offseason. The Blazers lose both games over the weekend in pretty shocking fashion. I shouldn't say shocking because they did that a lot in the regular season, but in a gut punch fashion, and we are down 3-1.
You go from feeling the highs of being back in the playoffs. We had great weather.
They won game two.
Friday night
the buzzer,
game. Then you get a Sunday brunch. You just feel so good. And then you come out of that and you lose. And like, I'm still whatever, you know, like when we were talking about the pick versus the playoff, I would rather this year have gotten it, but I knew they weren't going that direction. So I just, I erase it from my mind. Okay. We're here now. We all enjoy it. And then we're reminded of what it can feel like to utter collapse on that stage.
Like, I think the 2% chance thing is a very interesting conversation. I do acknowledge the positives of getting the Chicago nonsense out of the
way. Get it out.
Like, that's not hanging over your shoulder anymore. As long as this experience, now again, we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah.
As long as this experience leads you to making decisions that will actually change,
which I think it is going to lead to change, right? Like, but I don't know what that change is yet.
If you tell me we're rolling the roster back and I lost my chance at a number one overall pick, then you're just losing me completely. But if you're using this as an example of see how big the gap is, we need to do X, Y, and Z,
like pick, and we can move on.
Then I'm all for getting the playoff experience and sacrificing that first round pick. Some final thoughts on the show. What else did we miss over the weekend? And we'll get you set for your night in sports. Final one for us on a Monday next on The Fan.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download, and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Hey, you guys got a new logo.
Who's you guys?
The Pac-12.
We got a new logo?
They made a new conference logo. They just announced it. They just put it out.
Can they announce their TV deal and how much the media right dollars are going to pay us? That'd
no.
be nice. I don't care about the logo. I'm not going to buy a Pac-12 t-shirt.
You don't want to buy a Pac-12 t-shirt?
We really got a new logo?
Identical. I just saw Dellinger just tweeted it out. It was about an hour
ago. There's no border.
That's
the only difference.
I feel like that's a little bit different. They're going to tell you
it's worse.
Stupid nonsense.
I would argue it's worse.
Nothing worse than when you get those, like a new logo gets released and they're like, actually, the yellow here is signifying the ground.
This is 40-year-old virgin. Your gray pants are now blue.
I think it is a worse logo.
Also, sure. I did see the expenditures.
Why do you call it the Pac-8?
I don't know. They should just lean into it because they're probably going to try to add 12 at some point. You know, the Mountain West ever crumbles.
Or 8.5, I guess, right? Because Gonzaga, are they 9?
It's nine with Gonzaga, 8
football.
With
Pac
Texas
9.
State.
Make it the Pac-9.
I did see a, God, I can't believe that's a real thing. They really announced a new logo. That is, okay. Give me the media rights deal. Like, is my program going to make $7 million? Are they going to make $12 million? What's the number here? I did see spending, and I forgot where I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe last year, just on spending for like athletics, we were third. We were behind Colorado State and Boise State.
So if the conference had existed last year, that's where you would
Colorado
have ranked.
Colorado State was 37.7.
Okay. Is that all of sports or just football?
It wasn't specifying.
Okay.
Probably football, right?
Maybe.
That's a lot of money for Colorado State, I'd imagine, but I also don't know anything about Colorado State.
And if that's all of your athletic department, that seems a little low. So I take
has to be.
Football, I think, right? Maybe. Somebody texted in at the Fan Text Line. No worries, fellas. College football's only 4 months away. Amen, brother. It's going to be here before we know it, baby.
Hey, dude.
Although that team will break my heart in another way. Oh, who's going to beat us a second time around this year? And then their defensive coordinator is going to come out and defend my program after I yelled about him a week ago. Now I'm like, you know what? This guy's actually kind of right. Brian Haynes, the D coordinator at Indiana.
The loudmouth.
Who was taking shots at Ty Simpson. going into the draft.
Who was complimenting him, by the way.
He was complimenting. It was almost like a backhanded compliment, but it was a compliment that they were doing something simple, but they were so well coached. He said, you're an idiot, and everybody in Alabama hates him. And I did poke a little fun at that. And then he came out this weekend on Twitter, and he was asked about Oregon, the second matchup, and why it was so much easier. And he was like, let's be honest here. Will Stein was recruiting for Kentucky, and he wasn't game planning for Oregon.
Oh.
Oh, anybody else? And then
that's
they-
weird. It's almost like this show specifically was asking out loud, can you win the playoff national championship?
With both coordinators?
With two coordinators starting
over?
Second jobs? Turns out, you can't. More at 11. I'm not the smartest ball knower, but sometimes everybody knows the obvious.
You know what, Haynes? You're right. I love you again, but I still hate you.
Who said this? It was, what was the UNLV guy's, the long
Mullen?
Time? No, yeah, Mullen.
Dan Mullen?
Dan Mullen.
Oh, yeah,
remember
going
he talked
into
about
it.
This. Yeah, he's like, I literally went through it. You can't do it. You're prepping for a game.
You do the best you can, but.
And by 6 p.m., I'm recruiting and starting another program. Yeah, it's impossible.
The future is more important to you. Somebody said, what if at the first Beaver home game they put the free new Pac-12 logo shirt out there? That would get your sports fans tight.
Are we getting t-shirts?
Shoot that in a cannon to Sprague. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Dusty said 4,500 is what he heard on the
Oregon
State.
How many Beaver
State
fans were there?
Broadcast, yeah.
I mean, to your larger point from earlier, I can't blame anybody for not wanting to go to that. I'm glad that it's turned into something for my program.
No doubt.
I think it's cool. It's a great recruiting weekend. A lot of fun. The shout scenes were really awesome. And the weather was great, and the weather's going to be great, it looks like, for another, you know, who knows how long.
Dude, when I covered the program,
I don't blame anybody for not going to that.
Never
it's
anybody.
It's not a game,
but
they're punting and third and fives. Yeah, and, anyways. Yeah.
Don't worry, though. Baseball season's here.
Yes, it is. Well, it's actually in full swing. You guys swept Hawaii this weekend.
We also swept the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. Giants won a series this weekend.
My division's trash.
You guys have already clinched.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I'm giving you the NL East crown right now. I'm going to put that in a Sharpie right now. The Braves will run away with the NL East.
So I'm at least, of the three of us, the only one that gets to care about the regular season of baseball. Because one of us should, but doesn't, and doesn't watch Game 7 of the World Series.
And my team kind of sucks.
Your team kind of sucks.
You know, give it time, but they suck.
Yeah.
They're playing the Phillies now, so we'll see how that goes for us.
You'll win.
We got the Phillies this week.
The Phillies are terrible.
Let's get to one other quick thing that we missed from last night. Did anybody want to talk about how McJesus got screwed over?
Yeah, man.
Did he get screwed over? How did he get screwed over?
Was that a goal?
That was a goal.
That was a goal.
That puck was across.
So how did they see?
Why does the still image show that the puck is not across?
I believe that it crossed.
Yeah.
But you can't see it cross. You can't see the entire puck.
The still image on the internet shows the skate between the line and the puck.
Well, they also initially didn't call it a goal on the ice.
They didn't make any call on the ice.
And then they came together without any understanding of where they have no idea. And then there wasn't enough evidence to overturn the call.
Correct. But it was a goal.
I mean, I agree with you probably.
Okay.
But you can't prove that without a shadow of doubt because his skate's over the puck.
It was a goal.
They got screwed. McJesus is getting hosed. Look, they
down
suck.
3-1.
They're causing their own
goaltending
problems.
Is terrible. They have bigger issues. They gave up like 13 goals in Game 3. I grant
they
you that.
They need Bob Roffsky.
That was an egregious way
to
end a hockey game. That's all I'm saying. Really bad way to end a hockey game.
I hate that the Ducks are going to ruin my Blue Line Brandon pick going into the playoffs with those uniforms.
You had the Oilers, didn't you, winning the West again?
Yeah, I did. The Ducks wearing orange is just, I don't know when that started and why that started.
Nobody needs the Ducks. Get the Ducks out of the NHL.
That goes back to their 90s
Nobody
Paul
cares
Kariya
about
days.
The Ducks. Like, just get them out.
And they wear the movie uniforms when they started? Not Paul Kariya.
They should be the Disney version of the Ducks.
Yeah, just lean into it. You are what you are. Give me a knuckle puck.
The green and purple ones?
Yeah.
We got a 3-1 lead for Orlando tonight?
No. I don't think so.
Detroit wins game four?
I just can't believe Detroit's going to let Orlando do this to them.
Okay. Will Dylan Brooks punch somebody in the face tonight?
No, but he'll get into a...
Will he get tossed?
Yes.
Yeah?
He'll get a T. I don't think he gets
Let's
tossed.
Bet the Kalshi market on that one.
Okay. Denver, 11.5 point favorites in game five tonight. Five.
11.5. I could see that.
They cover.
Back in Denver.
Yeah.
Explosion. A Nugget explosion.
Yeah. That Nugget team. Weird vibes.
Really weird vibes.
What are they doing this offseason?
We'll take Jokic. We already have Chinese Jokic.
Why can't just blow it up and
Can
start
I have
over?
Real Jokic? I entertain you in Jeremy Grant, Shaden Sharp, Rui Hachimura on a second-round pick.
Is that going to do it? Donovan Clingan, too.
Take it.
That'll
do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com. Greg Oden's on the show tomorrow at 8 a.m. What? Exactly.
8 a.m., Greg Oden.
That Greg Oden on the show tomorrow, 8 a.m. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. If you missed the show, go check the podcast. We love you all. Like the video on YouTube and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Marang, is next. Listen to 1051 FM, The Fan.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.